This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
It's time for another Pucknologist, people. Welcome in, everybody, to episode 76 of the Pucknologist. We tried some different stuff last week, and now we're going to roll back to what you're usually, shall we say, comfortable with. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button. In fact, I'm going to put it whoomp, right there. There it is. Hit that subscribe button. With me today, on the one side, this guy, the reasonable facsimile of Hockey Jerk, it's Ian Reed.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
And on this side, this one, we haven't heard from her in quite some time. It's the one and only Rocket Backhander.
I'm not impressed yet. What's up?
Are we talking about hockey? Or what? I mean, like, can you be a little more descriptive in what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, then. So... the Sharks have played themselves five games. They've gone an incredible 1-4 after dropping the first four games. Evidently, the key to winning a game was to bring back a 40-year-old Patrick Marleau. Fine. But before we get to that, let's wrap it around the NHL just a scotch. And when I say wrap it around, we're talking about the Pacific Division because that's what we focus on. James Neal? Really? Ian? James Neal?
I'm not shocked. I'm not really surprised. I mean,
if you were a Calgary Flames fan, would you be shocked?
No. I mean, that's like, you knew it was coming. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just because I'm like Mr. Pessimistic, like all the time. But like, if I'm a Calgary, I'm like, of course he's doing fine. Now he's gone. Like, of course this trade's going to blow up in our face.
I just want to know who on the Calgary Flames front office said Milan Lucic Lucic for Neil? Sure. Sounds fantastic. Who wouldn't make that deal?
Problem for a problem.
Yeah, but one of those problems can score and one of those problems just takes penalty minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. It's bad.
Flipping it on the other side. Now, this is the whole thing. Rocket?
Hi.
You are a huge, huge, and have been for quite some time, a massive Bo Horvat fan. Let me ask you, do you know who the Vancouver Canucks' new captain is?
It would be Bo Horvat. Would it not be? It should be.
It might be. Just a scotch.
It should be. That guy, they signed him. He's like their franchise guy. They have him signed to a ridiculously nice fat package, as they should. I still would love to see him in teal, but hey, whatever.
I love the fact that they just drew it out so long, like it was going to be a gender reveal party or something. I don't know why they took that long to like throw it out there, but either way, so...
They wanted to make him work for it, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the other thing we need to talk about for a quick second is Draisaitl and McDavid. Hello, everybody. The Edmonton Oilers are 5-0 right now, as we all thought they would be at this point.
It's the ultimate cautionary tale of why you don't, plan your parade in the first month.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. You look at the standings right now and it's kind of like, okay, it's 2 weeks into October, or as Rocket likes to say, if the playoffs started today. So we can talk about that. And you know what? The playoffs are going to look ridiculously different 7 months from now, but it's still fun to just look at the tear that some teams have gone on, but whatever. We'll move on to the Sharks. During the offseason, let me see, Tomas Hertl got married, which we covered last week, and he sang Baby Shark. Brendan Dillon got engaged over the offseason. Logan Couture, all he got was a letter on his jersey. What are you going to do? The San Jose Sharks broadcast ended. Added Kendall Coyne, longest name ever. What, Schofield?
Schofield? Schofield.
Schofield. All right, they added her. And she did her very first broadcast, Game 5 for the Sharks against Chicago. Ian Reed, your thoughts on Kendall and what she brings to the party on the broadcast?
I thought she was fine. I know I feel like I'm somewhat in the minority on that opinion, but I think the most important thing to me, if you're calling a game, is you don't want to take away from what I'm watching. And she didn't pull me out of the game at any point. I was always, I was always engaged in the game. It wasn't like where you get Pierre and you're just like, wait, what did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I was into the game. I thought, obviously she has a perspective from playing, and she's like, it's not like, Baker and Hetty, can they both have, obviously game experience to run on, but she's more, she still plays. So she's got a more recent perspective of how hockey works today. I thought it was really interesting getting her perspective on some of those things.
Rocket?
I really, this is confession time with Rocket Backhander. So the first four games of the season, I did not watch at all, just because of life. And so this game, I know. And so this game I watched, and I didn't get all the way through it. I got mostly through the second period, but I'm glad I did. And I tried to get through it twice, but I fell asleep in the same spot. Sorry.
Hey now.
Sorry. It's not you. It's me. I'm working night shift, and it's 9-hour shifts, and it's a lot of stuff. I'm still adjusting. I'm getting there. Leave me alone. But yeah, I really found her commentary to be interesting, relevant definitely to the style of play and the goals that the guys had on ice, like per shift. But she also had, I think, a pretty good chemistry with Bakes. I think it was nice to listen to them go back and forth.
I'm gonna be that guy. I think she could use some reps, and there are very few people that can just slide right into that position. And there's a few, like Tony Romo in football. There's Javier Lopez in baseball. Some guys that could just like that. They just fill the position perfectly. And then there's other ones that need the reps. And for me, Kendall needs a few reps. The other thing too is I'm just not a huge fan of the three-man booth. To me, it's like, nope, two guys is perfect. You don't need that third voice. And that I felt like the game against Chicago, you could almost hear a couple times where, like, Baker or Randy, whoever, like, they were, like, throwing the elbow going, okay, this is your time. I just threw it, like, I drew something out there for you, and this is your time to, like, say something. So she'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, like, for her first outing, I mean, heck, she still does better than,
she's still better than
Maley.
Yeah. Really? We're going to pull Maley into this? Okay.
I'm sorry, because, could have been a lot worse.
Oh, let's move on.
A lot worse.
I do agree with one thing you said, though, because like I do find like I'm with you kind of on the three-person booth. I find that can be kind of a disaster. And I think it really, really, again, it didn't pull me out of the game. So I credit, because being the third person in the booth, I think the three-person dynamic is really hard to work properly. And I thought, like, again, the commentary didn't pull me out of the game. So hats off to them for that.
That's all you're looking for. So,
yeah.
Other stuff that occurred during the offseason that we didn't get to last week. The Sharks released a new marketing campaign called Teal Together. Puck Guy has, Puck Guy could be pissed off about this. If you go back to, I think it was like last April, last May, Puck Guy put out some stuff that had Teal Together in the Sharks, and then all of a sudden the Sharks started putting out Teal Together this last September. So we'll just we're just going to let that sit there for a moment. Fanatics Quality Control actually showed up to the Shark Store, evidently, to compare shades of teal. They saw turquoise, aqua, and cyan, evidently nothing resembling the color of teal. So, Fanatics, you're right there with us. KNBR, local AM sports station, decided to add a FM component to it. They have announced that while they will have AM and FM now, they still will very rarely talk about the Sharks. The Golden State Warriors have unveiled a new arena in San Francisco, the Chase Center in San Francisco. The LA Kings, not to be outdone, have unveiled plans to renovate the 20-year-old Staples Center. And not to be outdone by that, the Sharks have replaced Nick the Greek with Opa. So you have that. That's what's happening there. And then the final thing that happened during the summer, Patrick Marleau, evidently, while he was waiting for a phone call from a team, experienced what he says was his first earthquake, a whopping 2.6, by the way, and evidently freaked out. How he has played for the Sharks for 20 years, never experienced an earthquake, I don't get. So anyway, there's your off-season stuff. Let's get to what has happened in the last week or so, because we already talked about Vegas and Anaheim and blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about Nashville. Let's talk about Chicago. Let's talk about the return of Patrick Marleau, and let's talk about other stuff like that. So Sharks started off 0-4, worst power play in the league up until the Chicago game. Everything was a tire fire. And of course, Rocket, Patrick Marleau is, you know, the combination to unlock the lock.
Of course he is. But, you know, you've got to have somebody park it in front of the net in order to tip him in, right?
To replace Pavelski, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, no matter how long you keep it in their end, if you don't have somebody in front of their net, they're not going to get it in. And that's what Patty likes to do, is just hang out in front of the net and shablam in. So shablam away, Patty.
Actually, I want to point out that Rocket missed the four games where the Sharks lost, and she came back for this game. So I don't think it's Patrick Marleau at all. I'm actually crediting Rocket now.
Okay. But I didn't actually get to watch the game until I watched the replay of that game.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah. I know. I apologize for busting all the... I know it's not me, but maybe they were hoping I would watch.
Well, the thing that just gets me over it, I don't know, we talked about this before the season started, Ian. It was the fact that the Sharks had a plus 31 goal differential, but they let go a player that scored 38 goals in Pavelski, and then another 20 goals walked out the door between Nyquist and his limited time here and Jonas Donskoy. So 58 goals, but you were a plus 31. And okay, so Bugner's coming back. We're going to lock down the defense. Everything's going to be fantastic because, you know, look at this blue line. We've got like $27 million, you know, paid into this blue line between Burns and Erik Karlsson and Vlasic. So it's just going to be, oh my God, the defense is going to be on lockdown. And over these five games, the defense has been shish. It's been the ish.
Yeah.
And so,
well, I mean, the offense from the blue line was going to be on lockdown. It really wasn't. I mean, no one's looking at Brent Burns and expecting big, huge defensive plays. Erik Karlsson's a little more defensively responsible, but
really, because the last five games to the contrary,
history would say yes. The last five games would say no, but I mean, there's a lot going on. It's bad. I mean, and look at, and then your guy who's supposed to be your defensive stalwart's been probably one of the worst defensemen on the team in Mark-Edward Vlasic. So yeah, it's definitely a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the plus minus numbers now, and we all know that Chris loves to say plus minus means nothing. I don't think that it means nothing. It might not be the stat that everybody goes to, but there's still something there. And when you look at it where Erik Karlsson is just like right there with Mario Ferraro, it's like, let's look, it's here's the $750,000 guy versus the $11.5 million guy. And they're both right now like minus eight, kind of like, I said this a while back. I didn't think that the Sharks were going to get Karlsson, and then they got him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think the Sharks were going to be able to re-sign Karlsson, and they re-signed him. And I'm starting to think that it wasn't a case of me going, I don't know if they have the money, or I don't know. I think it was more of a case of like, no, I don't want them to sign this guy. And I mean, Rocket, I mean, you've only seen that game, but I already know you're not the biggest Erik Karlsson fan on the planet. Neither am I.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw that game versus Chicago. He gets easily muscled off a puck. He's at one point a minus three. I mean,
oh, you mean he looks exactly like he did last year? Oh,
a little bit.
Okay, like the only thing about him, God, is that he has that extra gear and that like fancy Maserati special compartment, and that's why he gets paid the big buck. And unfortunately, I don't think he gets to be able to tap into that nearly as often as they're paying him to tap into it. But the thing is, like, he's got the capability for it. So
I don't know. I mean, part of this, like, I feel like I mean, I understand, like, I kind of said this last time too. Like, Erik Karlsson's the last guy signed, so he's going to take the bulk of the grief. But really,
I don't know that it has.
Brent Burns seems to just get a pass by the fan base, and I don't understand that, because really, to a man, the defense has just been awful. Period.
The defense has been awful. Period. I don't know that Karlsson gets a pass because he was quote unquote last man signed. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact of when he was signed. I think it's for the amount of ducats he was signed for.
Yeah, but he was, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the concern really is the redundancy between Burns and Karlsson, right? Like, I mean, that's the
problem.
Yeah.
It's not so much like the money, he was going to get paid that somewhere.
But that's my whole thing is, and this is something that we have talked about year over year, is the whole idea of like, well, somebody was going to give him that money. Why not the Sharks? And I get that argument for a half a second. I'll give you that. But my whole thing is, well, just like, as you said, Ian, well, the Sharks already have Brent Burns. And like, so why do you need an Erik Karlsson? Now, granted, there's a 5-year difference in age, and fine, that's whatever. I just look at Erik Karlsson's game and, you know, like, I'm trying to put the past last year behind it. It's like injuries. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was somewhat, if you look at his numbers overall, that was an anomaly. But I look at this and I just sit there and go, God damn, five games in, and he's already like at the basement of the plus minus. Again, not the biggest stat. But
right,
it's also the whole idea of the eye test. And you sit there and you look at him easily get muscled off a puck, or you see that he's just not giving enough. And I'm going, Jesus, we're stuck with this guy for another 8 years, and he's got the no move, you know, like he won't be exposed. He can't be exposed for the Seattle draft, right? So...
Not that I'd have to look, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I look at it and just go, oh, my God. And this is something we talked about after Karlsson signed the big deal was, you know, that money could have gone to some forwards.
And... Yeah, but who? Joe Pavelski? You're going to give that money to Joe Pavelski and watch him fall off a truck in a year?
No. No, I'm not saying that we're going to give that money to Pavelski, but...
We could have given it to Bo Horvat, just saying.
Right? You could have gone there. But my whole thing is I did not have a problem with keeping Nyquist whatsoever and maybe chasing somebody else. It's, I don't know. I look at what Erik Karlsson brought last season when he was healthy. And granted,
but he had
an amazing stretch.
Yep.
You know, December and January, he had like that 6 week stretch where it was like, dear God, only like potted 3 goals and 48 assists, you know, over like 40 some odd games. I mean, he was a point of game player. I give him that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when I watch this guy, I just sit there and I go, you know, this guy just has he doesn't have any heart for me. Like, he's just more than willing to let somebody, you know, take the puck from him. Like, he doesn't fight for it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I agree completely with that.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I understand, like, the money and everything else. We could have chased forwards. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, well, Joe Pavelski could have stayed. And it's like, Joe Pavelski is going to fall off a truck in a year. Like, Joe Pavelski hasn't done shit in Dallas yet.
Yeah. No, and right? See, that's like, my whole thing is, I'm not saying...
No, Pavelski. But I mean, that's what you're getting from the fan base right now. That's a lot of people listening to this right now are going to be like, well, what if we could have kept Joe Pavelski and blah, 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 and everything would be fine. You know, they had leadership and captaincy and rah, rah, rah. Like, no. I mean, here's a problem.
Well, let's be honest. The Sharks thought Pavelski was too old, and that's why they went for Marla.
Right. Well, I mean, of course. I mean, the problem I have isn't so much, it's the lack of communication on the ice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like,
you know, there's that one play where, you know, where DeBrincat strips the puck off of him and you don't hear a peep on the ice. And that's not the Sharks.
But when you look at that play though.
But someone should have warned him. Like, someone should have, because the way he was turned, he wasn't going to see DeBrincat to the last minute. It's ridiculous that nobody lets him know that DeBrincat's right on his rear end. And that's the big problem I have with the defense. And then the other problem I have with the defense is the guys that are supposed to be good defensively have been absolutely atrocious. And again, I go back to Mark Edward Vlasic, who's been absolutely abhorrent so far. And he's supposed to be your defensive guy. And you want to talk about money, there's $7 million for the next God knows how long.
And again, as you're saying.
And again, a no trade, no move.
Yeah. No trade, no move. Same thing with Erik Karlsson. No trade, no move. But Burns is, from what I understand, is only a no trade.
Yeah.
So he can be, you know, exposed during the Seattle draft. We'll see what happens with that. We also had, you know, Evander Kane missed the first three games. Played the last two. I mean...
It's another contract that doesn't look so hot right now.
Yeah, it doesn't look so great. And even, I would say to another, let's be honest, Tomas Hertl, Logan Couture, all the big names, the big guys, even to an extent, Joe Thornton, this team is not lighting the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination. And again, though, we're talking five games. Five games, you know, like everybody has a stretch. If Edmonton can win five straight, the Sharks can pull this together and figure it out. But,
and that's kind of like, and that's where I'm at with Erik Karlsson, you know, going back to Erik Karlsson is again, the five games, right? Like we haven't seen the best of Erik Karlsson yet, and we're going to, I'm confident we're going to, I mean, we've seen glimpses
starting in December.
We've seen glimpses of it so far. I mean, we watched, you know, people are saying he can't skate. He turned Craig Smith on Nashville inside out.
Yeah.
Like, it was Datsukian almost on, like, the way he turned him inside out. Like, it's there. It's just the problem is this, like, it's easy to panic and look at, like, to really center out guys. But really, this team's been dog crap to a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially defensively. But that's the thing that gets me, too. This is stuff that we were talking about a year ago. It was the defense. It was the goalies. It was the dogs that are barking right now. Who let them out? But we don't know.
Aren't I muted?
Yeah, try that again. That's my whole thing about this is like, if we had not spent so much of the season last year harping on the goaltending and their save percentage and goals against, if we hadn't spent so much time last year talking about Mark Edward Vlasic, and then, you know, to a lesser extent, Kane, but of course he was injured. We all know what Brent Burns is. You know, he's the Wookiee, the starfish posture defensive guy, you know, like we all know what he is, and we take that into account. I just like, oh my God, Šimek, where are you, bro? Like, tell me it's less than two weeks out for you to return. And then, of course, the Sharks have also been bitten by the injury bug for a little bit. It seemed like every time they brought in somebody, it's like, oh, Dylan Prout plays a game, boom, injured. Oh, okay, well, let's bring in Middleton. Oh, Middleton, boom, injured. And now, you know, we're sitting there with who's the other defensive guy right now?
I've already Trevor lost Carrick.
Count. Yeah, Trevor. That's
Trevor
it.
Carrick.
And yeah. then Trevor Carrick playing like he's taking more penalty minutes from fighting than he actually like has time on ice. So I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to sit there and go, you know what? Just let it go through Halloween. Like, let this kind of, you know, they only play in four games at home in the month of October. It's a very small stretch. Starts this Sunday with Calgary. So, okay, let them try to figure it out. They brought back Patrick Marleau, and Marleau, all of a sudden, you know, it was all the people that said, you know, oh my God, we need to move on from Marleau. He's too old. He's too slow. He's a blah, blah, blah.
Well, again, one game. Let's not, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Let's not coronate him king of the universe after one game. Like, yeah, he had a good game, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But, like, people were, like, all up in my mentions. Of course, I had to get the hell for it. And it's like, you know, have you changed your mind? No, it's one game. I don't know if Marlo's going to
He could disappear. Go the next 10 games with, you know, with 0 points and be a minus -7. You know, yeah,
Do you guys remember who had a really good first game here after he got traded to San Jose? No.
What, Ben Michael Smith. Haley?
Oh, it was Ben Smith. Mm-hmm. He had a great first game. Look what happened to him. He's not playing for San Jose anymore, is he?
I don't think he's even in the NHL anymore.
Bingo!
Yeah, so I don't know. It's there's that part of you that was just sitting there going, oh, it's only five games, but this, but that, but that, and I get it. And again, the injury bug. I mean, Marcus Sorensen, from what I understand right now, is day to day. You know, took that ridiculous trip from Gibson versus Anaheim that wasn't even called, by the way. Not even sure about that. It, you know,
goalies get away with murder. It's a known fact.
Yeah, but this, you know, and that's a whole nother. We could do a whole nother show just based on the officiating.
Well, I mean, goalies get away with murder because they're the most protected position in the league. So goalies always, unless you're blatantly obvious, like Arundel coming out and throwing the shoulder out, like
the goalie. I didn't think he was throwing his shoulder, dude. I thought he was just kind of standing there. He saw a guy coming, so he braced. Like, I didn't see him like go like. You know, he didn't lean into it. He just braced.
But I don't know. I mean, but again, goalies are the most protected position in the game. They get the most amount of leeway. They always get the benefit of the doubt. Just always. I mean, if you go down in a position like you're trying to make a save and you break somebody's ankle, guess what? You're trying to make a save. You get the benefit of the doubt. Like, that's the NHL. That's hockey.
Oh, I get it, but I'm just like, either way. So it's been five games. The Sharks, of course, you know, because Marleau returns and the Sharks finally win. Of course, yeah, Marlo's going to be anointed a little bit. And like Ian, as you were saying, it's like, you know, yeah, talk to me about Marleau in 20 games. 20 games
from I'm not angry he had a good game. Like, I don't want the Sharks to lose so I can be right. Like. You know, but at the same time, you know, I just like I, you know, obviously, like, I can concede that Erik Karlsson hasn't been good so far, but I still think that we're going to see what Erik Karlsson can bring to the team. And I think it's going to be a net positive.
I would hope so. And the same with Vlasic. Like,
Vlasic, oh man, that's a disaster. Because yeah, Vlasic's a guy who really wasn't that good last year either.
Well, yeah, it was. Now, and that was my whole thing. When it comes to Vlasic, I was just like, well, you know what? They're trying to interject Carlson into the mix. And we all know that Vlasic for a little while was like, it was very much musical chairs. Should we put Vlasic with Carlson? Should we put somebody else there? It was Dylan with Carlson. I mean, Dylan at one point had like a plus 19, plus 20. I mean, they were putting up great numbers. We all know that Rocket pays particular attention to Brendan Dillon's numbers.
He's my guy.
But that was the whole thing. It was like, it seemed like it took a while, but once the playoffs went in, and then if you remember too, there was seven games versus Vegas, and Marc-Edouard Vlasic played four of them. Well, he played four in like a quarter or a third of them. But the games that Marc-Edouard Vlasic played in, the Sharks won those. The ones that he didn't play in, the Sharks lost in that playoff series versus Vegas. So it took him a while for some reason, but it doesn't negate the fact that last season, Marc-Edouard Vlasic, it was the first season in nearly a decade, he posted a minus on the season. He hadn't done that in a decade, and right now, he's already like a minus eight, five games in.
You got to score. I mean, someone's going to take minuses when you're getting outscored, you know, 10 to 1 over the span of a couple of games, you know, 10 to 2 over a span of a couple of games. The thing is with Vlasic, too, is it's, you know, the one concern you have is maybe he's just like going to be this perpetual slow starter. You have guys in the league that kind of take a little while to get, you know, up to speed. Henrik Lundqvist is notoriously a slow starter. So you wonder if that's the case with Vlasic too. I mean, Braun's gone, so you don't have that punching bag anymore.
But was Braun that great the last season or two?
I think that Justin Braun was an anchor on Vlasic, but, you know, he doesn't have that excuse now. Like, that's the problem. But I don't know. I mean, it's so hard because it's five games and you just want to scream and yell at the universe. But, you know, you don't want to like get too crazy at the same time. Like I could tear this organization from top to bottom right now and feel pretty good about it.
It could be worse.
It could be Ottawa.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Well,
could be Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, there is a team that. Well, okay, we try to keep things focused on the Pacific. So, anyway, let's just try to wrap this up over 2 weeks for the Sharks. You know, is this the? You can't sit there and say, okay, this is the team that the Sharks are. You can't say that after five games. You know, 82 games. You can't say that. Is Edmonton going to go 82-0? I don't think so.
No.
So, yeah, we all remember where St. Louis was in January. Granted, that was an anomaly. It only happens every 52 years. But
yeah, I don't. That's not a good plan. That's not a good. I don't like that plan.
Yeah. No. It's not what we're looking for. But I just sit here and look at this team, and I feel like Doug Wilson has sat there and said, you know what? We just need like the best defense on the planet. And to a certain extent, I'm kind of, you know, I bounce back and forth because I was the guy 7-8 years ago, whatever it was, maybe even longer, where I would sit there and look at the Sharks and they would sit there and go, oh my God, we've got Joe Thornton and we've got Danny Heatley and we've got Patrick Marleau,
Joe Dan Pavelski. Boyle.
And yeah, well, no, I'm just talking about up front. And it was very much a case of you looked at the guys who were up front. There were like Thornton brought in on trade. Danny Heatley brought in on trade. But then there were guys like Pavelski, Couture, Patrick Marleau, guys that came up through the system, and it felt like there was a good amount of firepower up front, but on the defense, it just seemed like a shit show.
Because it generally was.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, yeah, okay, you had
outside Dane. Your top pair, like it was.
Yeah.
It was a drunk show.
But that was all you had. That was that was the whole thing. It's like the Sharks for the longest time they just had like the top pair. Well,
they had like three defensemen because they had Vlasic, Boyle, and Braun. Like at one time, Braun was a good defenseman. I'm not saying like Braun was always bad. Braun was good. Braun just got old. He's not super old, but he's older, right? Like.
I was a huge Sharks fan in like the early 2000s where it was like you had Stewart and Suter, you had Marchment and Hannon, you had Rathje and Ragnarsson. All of those pairs complemented each other and they all played the way they were supposed to. And they were.
You gotta keep in mind too though that was like you could water ski too on a player's back into the zone.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. But those players, like, they complimented each other. They communicated. Yep. When you saw them playing, it was, you know, it was fantastic. When I saw those groups together, I was like, I felt really good about them. It was like, oh, if we only had, like, that one guy, like that Teemu Selänne, or we had that one kind of sniper guy or somebody that you could plug into the top six that would really blow this open because the defense felt solid. Right now, you're looking at $27 million. You're looking at Vlasic, who is, you know, like a pick from Team Canada every season. You're looking Brent Burns, for Christ's sakes. Norris winner, Norris nominee. Two-time Norris winner in Erik Karlsson. And where are the Sharks right now? They're at the bottom of the basement. Again, five games. I get that. But... we're talking about, like, you know, this is supposed to be this stellar defense. How have they started out? Oh, first game, let in 4 goals. Second game, 5 goals. Third game, 3 goals. Next game, 5 goals. And then versus Chicago, 4 goals. That's a lot of rubber entering your net from what is supposed to be, what NHL Network and everybody told us is supposed to be one of the best blue lines to ever be.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean... you know, like I said, it goes back to the fact that, yeah, the blue line looks like garbage, but so does everybody else. Goalies have been garbage. Forwards have been garbage, especially on the defensive side of the puck. Everyone, like, again, there's no communication. There's people, you know, there's forwards skipping out on their assignments. There's defensemen missing assignments. Like, it's bad across the board. I mean, the thing that concerns me, I guess, out of all this is when you look at the money that's been signed, I mean, this was never Doug Wilson's way of doing business.
No, for the longest time, no.
You know, and he said as much himself to us that, you know, this is the way the cap is now, and this is the way, you know, you have to pay players now. And I just, you know, you want to talk about how things look all discombobulated and everything. I mean, you know, Doug Wilson was a lot better at building a team before everyone had to make $7 million 7 years.
That's the other thing that gets me. I totally get Doug Wilson changing up his philosophy because, let's be honest, they've been so porous at drafting and developing defensemen. I get that, but Doug Wilson totally flipped the script. It was always, you know, never a deal more than 5 years and this, that, and the other. It was like, never deal more than 5 years, but whatever deal we hand out, automatically, no trade, no move clause, stapled right to the thing.
Absolutely.
And now he's handing out a lot more term, but maybe a little less when it comes to no moves, no trades.
Well, that's what he'll say, right? Like, he gives a guy a 3-team trade list and says, whoa, look at the flexibility we have, guys. This is amazing.
Yeah, and then they say, okay, by the way, those 3 teams are Minnesota, Ottawa, and Florida.
Right, like, you know, it's like the players, like, the player can give you 3 teams he can go to. Like, Doug Wilson, man, Doug Wilson can talk a good game, but sometimes, like, you hear what he says, and you're kind of like, well, yeah, I guess you have flexibility. I mean, look, you can, like, you know, we talk about Seattle coming up. Yeah, you could absolutely, if things are completely falling off the rails, you can put Brent Burns up in the expansion draft. And if I'm Seattle, I definitely take a serious look at him, because Brent Burns' game is what I'd expect it to be. He's worth the money.
Yeah.
I would, you know, if I'm Seattle, I'd take a look at that contract. I mean, obviously, it would give the Sharks some flexibility, but... you know, but I don't think they're as flexible as Doug Wilson would have us believe. I mean, a lot of those no trades are, you know, they're three team lists. Like, the player can give you three teams where they want to go, you know. And then so what happens if Brent Burns says, okay, well, I will go to Los Angeles, I will go to Edmonton, and I'll go to Anaheim. Like, you really want to deal Brent Burns to one of those three teams? That's flexibility, right?
Well, and let's rock it for a hard second. Let's talk about the fact that last season, between last season and today, the Sharks, as I said earlier, gave away 58 goals. Was Pavelski going to score 38 again this year? Probably not. Nyquist, obviously that's a prorated stat, but Jonas Donskoy didn't set the world on fire with his 12 goals. Little bit kind of in the Pete DeBoer doghouse. But if you take Pavelski, Nyquist, Donskoy, that's a solid second line on a lot of teams in the NHL. So there's a good amount of offense to be had with that group. And I don't feel that Doug Wilson has done a good job at trying to pull wherever you can that those pucks that are going behind the net, looking around saying, yeah, okay, I need those pucks that Pavelski and Donskoy and Nyquist are doing. So I ask you this, do you think that Doug Wilson just looked at like guys like Blichfeld, Shmulevsky, who's 45 again? I figure, Bergman, you're tanking, you know, Shekovich. Do you think that he might have just overrated the younger guys? Because we saw a couple years ago when Marlowe left, he handed off some reins to Timo Meier and Kevin LeBanc. And it obviously Meier stepped to the bell a little quicker than LeBanc did. Do you think that Doug Wilson, Rocket, just may have overplayed his hand when it came to the youth?
No, I think that if anything, it's like in days before, you would see it in kind of like they would never give the young kids a shot anywhere. It'd be like two shifts and then it was the same lines over and over and over and over and over again. So, you know, at some point you're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off. And, you know, like, and on top of that, like, this roster is going to look ridiculous. They're going to look completely different by February because half of them are going to be out with injury. You know, like, this is not the same team that's going to end the season. And I've been watching hockey long enough to know finally that this is not something that constitutes being, I don't know, nervous about. It's just a slight change.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah,
I don't know, Ian.
I think some guys definitely, probably, you know, disappointed the team in camp. I think I was underwhelmed by a lot of camp performances. I thought that you would get a little bit more out of some of the guys with so many spots open, but at the same time, that was a lot of spots open that when you signed that Erik Karlsson deal. Obviously, you painted yourself into a corner.
That's my whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely painted yourself in a corner. You're going to have to cut some costs somewhere, and obviously up front was where you're going to do it. Look, there's a lot of revisionist history about Jonas Donskoy. I really like Jonas Donskoy. I like the fact that he never gave up on a puck, and I think you're missing some of that in the Sharks game. But if at the end of July 1st, they gave Jonas Donskoy $4 million like Colorado did, we would be on here losing our bloody minds.
Yeah.
July 1st. We would have lost our minds. Yeah. So I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, well, you know, if we had the money, we could have kept Bonds, blah, blah, blah. No, because I would have lost my mind if the Sharks gave him $4 million for what he brought to the team. Well,
and let's talk about it for a second. Is, you know, we're, again, it's only 2 weeks, people.
Sure.
Take that into account. It's like, oh, you know, Donskoy scored 2 goals in a game. Okay. Well, you know, so did a 40-year-old Patrick Marleau. Like, you know, let's talk about Donskoy and Marleau at the end of January and see where both of them are at.
The only thing that I would say about Jonas Donskoy is that if another coach can use him better than Peter DeBoer, obviously that's a problem. Yeah. But I'm trying not to like, again, I could sit here and probably just tear the entire organization a new one from top to bottom right now and feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, again, it's, you don't really want to do that because it's only 5 games in. I can save that for midseason when they're, you know, if they're clearly going to miss the playoffs, then, yeah, we can start tearing the organization a new one, because I think there's a lot of problems from top to bottom. I think
absolutely
we've hinted at some of them tonight. Doug Wilson's management of the cap is obviously coming into question. I could complain about Peter DeBoer until the cows come home. I've never been a huge Peter DeBoer guy. You still on the ice, you still have to perform, and you know, we're starting to see signs of that, thank God, in this last game, but before that it was abysmal.
Well, and even, you know, our buddy Gen X told us from the get-go when DeBoer came in for the Sharks, he goes, yeah, get ready. That first year is going to be great. And then after that, he's never going to come, you know, close to being that first year. And so far, Gen X has been absolutely correct with that.
They did the conference finals last year. Maybe you could argue in spite of DeBoer, but I mean, usually that's the last season would be the season where the team was supposed to miss entirely.
I'll give you that. And along with that, let's be honest, man, last season's playoffs, that was one of the most physical series I've ever seen. Whether it was, you know, Vegas and the Sharks, Colorado and the Sharks, St. Louis and the Sharks. That was just an amazing physical series. And the fact that, you know, Pavelski's losing chicklets still comes back. You know, Couture's losing teeth. Hurdle is getting drilled. And let's be honest, too. Erik Karlsson, I don't give a shit what anybody says. He was never more than 80% in those playoff games.
When they started... I mean, I ranted about this at length, you know, the last games in St. Louis when he was playing, like they put their offense through Erik Karlsson because he was in condition to play. He couldn't skate, period. Yeah. Like, he shouldn't have been on the ice. And, you know, you can definitely, like, if Erik Karlsson can't have the common sense to sit himself down and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't play, then, Peter DeBoer should have sat him down. Like, someone should have sat him down because he got exposed. And I think it was game five, I think, because he didn't play game six. Right? We lost in six.
We lost in six. And Hurdle and Karlsson didn't play in that game.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, game four and five, it was like 2 games straight of just pyloning Erik Karlsson for all your offense. And it was just, I don't know. I could see it, and an idiot could see it. I'm an idiot sometimes. So, yeah.
No, and that's the... That's the thing that gets me with Karlsson. I'm sorry, Rocket, go ahead.
No, I said I agree 100%. You know, like, he's one of those dudes where if his game's not on, like, he needs to not be anywhere near.
He couldn't skate. They just skated around him. Like, he couldn't skate. He shouldn't have been on the ice.
Mm-mm. No, he shouldn't have. And seeing that's the whole thing is, I mean, you ask anybody between myself and Rocket, you go back to the podcasts that we did back in the day when we first got Erik Karlsson, neither myself nor Rocket, not the biggest fans of this guy. He's got diva syndrome, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, there are just some players that you sign them to the big contract, and they're like, oh, watch me earn this, people. And they go out there and they destroy shit. And then you get the other guys where they draw the big contract and it's like, oh, I'm, you know, watch me earn this. And then they like go to bed, like, just, and I'm just throwing this out there because I understand there's 100 different examples one way, 100 different examples the other. I'm just going for the ones that go off the top of my head. Do y'all remember what Anže Kopitar did after he signed his huge deal? He went down the crapper in a big way. Not a good season for him.
Team also went down the crapper.
Yeah, the whole team went down the crapper. But yeah,
you know, look at it. I mean, Erik Karlsson, like, to give him like what I just ripped him apart for, I'm also going to give him credit. I mean, he wanted to be a part of the solution. Like, he was too stubborn to stop skating, but he went out there.
But do you think that was a case of the Sharks? It was like, oh, wait a minute, the Sharks is the only team that can give me that you know, that eighth year in that long term with all this dollars.
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, I think he wanted...
I wouldn't think so either, because it's got to be some other team, whether it's Florida or New York or Tampa or whoever. There had to have been some other team that, hell, even Vegas, that has like a stockpile of money. Huh?
That's where I always thought he was going. I thought he would get a year out of him, and then he'd end up in Vegas. And then
I was thinking Vegas or Tampa.
Healthy season out of him, and we'd all kill ourselves.
Yeah. No, I was thinking Vegas or Tampa, but the whole thing was like, Erik Karlsson had the stockpile, waiting for the big contract. Again, you know, Sharks, 11 and a half a year, $92 million contract over eight. Was there another team out there that might have said, you know what, we'll give you 12 and a half over seven. It's essentially the same amount of money. Oh, yeah. There was definitely some team out there that would have.
Someone was going to give him money. Oh, yeah. Someone would have paid him.
But that's the whole thing. But that's my thing. That's my point. Is, was it worth it for the Sharks?
Well,
we
will see. Right. I mean, like, are we really going to pass judgment five games in? Like, we can say that we haven't been impressed so far.
Hold on. Hold on. That's my thing. Are we going to pass judgment over five games? And you know what? That's my thing. If that game against Chicago, and to a lesser extent Nashville, if I didn't see Erik Karlsson pushed off the puck so easily, you know, like if he was out there fighting and battling for it, I would just be like, you know what? He turned it over, but God damn, he was out there trying his best. But instead, I see a guy who's kind of...
I don't think his heart's in chat. I feel like this is not fair. Like, I feel like... Well, because I mean, the guy, we're questioning a guy's heart when the guy played on no groin last year in the playoffs. I mean, the team should have stopped him from doing it, but he went out there and did it because he wanted to be a part of the solution. But let me ask you this:
there's a difference between heart and ego.
No, I don't think like these are nebulous things that we're kind of just throwing out there. Like, I don't know Erik Karlsson personally, but I think
there's a difference between heart and ego.
But I don't understand how it's ego for one guy and heart for another. Like,
I'm not saying it's, I'm not bringing any other player into this equation.
Well, no, I'm but saying I don't think that, that's what I'm saying. Like, why are we saying that it's ego that he played on no groin and then Joe Thornton plays on no knee and it's heart? Like,
No. I'm not saying anything about Thornton. I'm just straight up talking about EK. Last season, he played the playoffs, especially that series versus St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
For me, he was probably 60-65%.
Yeah.
And okay, yes, there is an amount of people out there that will sit there and go, well, a 65% Karlsson is better than 110%. Whoever.
Joakim Ryan.
Tim Heed. Joakim Ryan. Whatever. And that's a fine take to have. But for me, I look at it from personally when I played sports, and not that I've ever played on anywhere close to a professional level, but I've played when it came down to a championship moment.
Okay.
And I knew, and there was a couple times where I was a little jacked up, you know, whether it was like I had a shoulder issue or whatever. And I sat there and I told the team, I said, look, can you get this done without me? Because my shoulder is jacked up. And the team looked at me and said, yes, we can do this. And I said, okay, then I'm out, because I don't know that I'm going to be able to give you everything that I need to give you. And they said, it's okay. And my team that I was on, they went and they won the whole fucking thing. And it was glorious. And I sat there with this arm constantly, you know, out there because my right shoulder was just, it was toast. Couldn't throw the ball, couldn't do anything, couldn't swing a bat. It sucked. But the whole thing is that I didn't let my ego get in the way. For me, it was all about the team. I look at Erik Karlsson's game.
I
see a lot of ego.
No, I disagree because this is all supposition. We don't have it. You don't have any, like, you can base it on your own personal experience, but none of us are in that room. None of us talk to Erik Karlsson. No. Like, this is completely, well,
we're
we
not talking about
to,
in the room. We're just talking about what we see on the ice.
Hear me out. I don't, but,
absolutely.
It's not that we can't quantify this.
Okay. Go ahead.
We can't quantify it.
Mm. Hold on. No. You were making a point. Go ahead, Ian.
No, I said we can't quantify any of this. This is all absolutely just supposition and opinion. There's nothing we can do to say this is fact, this is not. Like, there's just, we're not, we have no facts. We're just a lot of, I don't know.
You're fake news.
We are a shit ton of hyperbole, people.
I don't want to say that, but it is. Like, I mean, I don't know.
I just,
in your opinion, it was ego. But I, you know, again, I go back to, why is it ego when Erik Karlsson does it? And then when Joe Thornton skates on no knee, he's all heart. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
You know what it is? And this is not just me. You know what I think a lot of it comes from? It was like when Joe Thornton was dealing with the knee issue, whether it was the first one or second one, how much money and how much term did Thornton have when that injury occurred? Versus, you know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But that's the whole deal. It's like, you look at Kevin LeBanc.
Like,
Kevin LeBanc versus Chicago, -3. God. Kevin needs to be a little bit better. He needs to make better decisions. And then Erik Karlsson, same game, -3. Oh, my God, what a fucking waste, and this fucking guy, and blah, blah, blah. Well, now, is it the difference between one guy is playing a second or third line forward position versus another guy playing, you know, top pair? Or is it a case of one guy's making $1 million, the other guy's making 11 and a half. You know what I mean?
I guess, but I mean, again, like, really, it feels like for me sitting here, it just feels like we're laying a lot of the Sharks' issues on Erik Karlsson when it's like Erik Karlsson is one problem.
Weren't the Sharks fans sold that way a little bit?
I guess, but
they
at the same, like,
were a little bit.
Well, okay, look it. I mean, you want to talk about, like, other, like, again, like, look, you know, again, you,
well, it's the same thing with, like, Connor McDavid.
Want a center on, you know, it's not like he's the only big money guy that's doing F all.
Oh, no, dude, Logan Couture. You could already say that right now is he already being weighed down by the C on his shoulder?
I don't think so. No one's playing.
Well, exactly. Yeah. No one's playing. No, I get that.
But the Edmonton Oilers, dude. But Connor McDavid is that whole team. Like,
No. I'm not saying
Dreisaitl, everyone else.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the fact that it was like the Sharks, to a certain extent, Sharks fans were almost sold this bill of goods, like Erik Karlsson. He was the one. That's like the only piece we need. And then we'll finally get the big shiny silver thing. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying that that's kind of like the bill of goods we've been sold. Whereas, and even Drew Remenda talked about this when we had him on, is Edmonton kind of the same way that the Sharks put all their eggs in the Erik Karlsson basket, the Edmonton Oilers put a shit ton of their eggs into the Connor McDavid basket, and we have to see where it takes us. But we've seen that Connor McDavid is already kind of like saying, you know what, You know, it's kind of about you guys, but if like shit doesn't change a little bit, I'm gonna get the hell out of here.
Well, here's another problem with that too, right? Like, yes, the Sharks put a lot of eggs into the Erik Karlsson basket.
Oh, they put all the eggs into the Karlsson basket. But
though they've got a lot of eggs in very few players. Whereas Edmonton, you've got Draisaitl, you've got, you know, and it's basically been a failure to put anything else around Draisaitl. And it's not like they've spent all their money.
No,
like
James Neal, goddamn it.
Yeah, okay, but you know what I mean though. Like, here's the thing. Like, you have a lot more eggs. Like, I feel like the Sharks have a lot more eggs tied up into a core where you have in Edmonton, you have Leon Draisaitl, you have Connor McDavid, and then everyone else. And they've just the everyone else is what's been lacking. No. Whereas the Sharks have a lot of, you know, like, yeah, they've got a lot of things, but the Erik Karlsson contract wouldn't be so terrible if they didn't have Brent Burns and Marc-Edward Vlasic and Evander Kane and Logan Couture and Timo Meier has this great deal, except for the fact that he's going to be a $10 million qualifying offer when it comes up.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's, again, that's, I still go back to the fact that it was like, we're talking about a team that already had Vlasic and Burns signed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm gonna be that guy that went.
This is the team that has to try and keep the window perpetually open without ever, you know, Doug Wilson won't rebuild this team, so
no, he's gonna keep
putting stucco on the wall.
I get that.
You know, every time there's a hole, he's gonna put a little stucco. Not gonna fix the wall. Not gonna replace the wall.
No,
we're just gonna keep patching it up.
But I'm still that guy. And I have been for a very long time. Rocket can attest that I've never been a Karlsson fan. She's never been a Karlsson fan. We'll see what happens. I just look at that money, and you can sit there and throw that whole thing of like, well, some other team is going to give him that. Well, then fine. Let that other team give him that or more. I just felt like the Sharks could have better spent that money somewhere else. But it is what it is.
But history proves they can't.
I don't know. Well, again, it's the whole idea of, you know what, let's look at this team come Thanksgiving, and is the blue line points-wise, plus-minus, points-wise, all the stats, are Burns, Vlasic, and Erik Karlsson killing it stats-wise?
No.
We'll see.
No.
Sure. But I mean, it's a whole... whole team is in disarray.
Yeah, no, the whole thing. Okay, so let's finish this off because, like, we've already gone way too long, but let's finish this off with the final thing is, I hate to be that guy, but...
Too late.
Yeah. I hate to be that guy, but Martin Jones, Aaron Dell. You know, like, look, I'm not looking... And this is the thing that gets me on Twitter, social media... You get half the room saying, God damn it, Jones, you need to catch that. Or Dell, you need to grab that. And then you get the other half of the room saying, that's not on Jones or Dell. You know, the defense needs to not let that shot happen.
Right, it's the false dichotomy that it has to be the team defense or the goalie. It absolutely can't be both. It's got to be one or the other.
Yeah.
It's never Schrodinger's fault.
But right. Well, that too. But... I still go to my whole thing is, look, I look at the goals that the Sharks have let in. Four goals, then five, then three, then five, then what was it against Chicago? Was that two?
Four.
So either way, that's a lot of goals. That is a lot of goals.
Look at the
now,
fact that
I'm
the
not
Sharks
gonna, hold on. I'm not gonna blame all of those goals on Jones or Dell. But the fact of the matter is, Jones has already been yanked in one game. Dell has started two games. It's already come out that Peter DeBoer wants to start Dell more this season. I just look at everything. The fact that the Sharks gave up a first rounder for Jones as part of that deal. I don't expect Jones, like I need to put this out there. I don't expect Jones to catch every piece of rubber that comes within 10 feet of him. I don't expect that. But there has to be those games on occasion where the Sharks they're just shit on defense at forward. They're not communicating. They're not doing well. And it's the goalie. And we saw games from Nabokov. And as much as it pains me to say this, Even Niemi occasionally brought out a game where he would save the guys in front of him. And to be honest, over the last three seasons, aside from the first year that Jones was here, these last three seasons, I think I might have seen two games where Jones has bailed out the guys in front of him. And over the course of these five games, there's probably been six goals. Jones should have had. He had an open look at it. He wasn't screened. The guy was 20, 25 feet away from him and still put it past him. And there's, you know, again, it's that thing of, yeah, everybody shares a little bit of blame, but every once in a while, I just feel like you hear the guys on TV, or whether it's, well, actually Kurz is very, you know, kind of like calling it how he sees it. I just hear,
well, he's not employed by the team.
Well, of course. And so he has that, you know, accountability that way. And I love that, but it's that idea of like, you know what? Sometimes I sit there and see the social media and it's like, you can't blame Jones for that. The defense hang him out to dry.
Oh,
but when I look at the video of it, it's like, yeah, okay. Did the defense allow a guy to get behind him and get essentially a breakaway? Yeah, they did. But every once in a while, Jones has to be responsible and pick up one of those goals.
Yeah, I'm not arguing. I mean, I've been very like, there's a false dichotomy that it has to be the defense or it has to be the goalie. It can't be both. It's absolutely been both.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, the whole team has been terrible, but you want to look at the defensive. I mean, after the season they had last year, you know, you want to talk about, you know, gambles, like, you know, going out and signing Eric Carlson. Well, I mean, keep Martin Jones coming back with Martin Jones and Aaron Dell. Not that the Sharks had a whole lot of options here, but you're talking about a team that's supposed to be this legit contender. And after last season came back with both Jones and Dell.
Yeah.
Again, like.
And it makes me, it makes me go back to, did Doug Wilson put all of his eggs in the Eric Carlson basket?
Because you put all the eggs in the Jones basket first, because that you're not moving the contract.
Yeah, there's that. But I just look at it. Did he overrate your Tankin, Shmulevsky, Chekovic, Blickfeld, Gambrell? Well, I mean, just like throw out a name. There's so many names, and we've seen them over the last five games, and even to an extent. And let me just preface this right now. I fucking loves me some Mario Ferraro. I love this kid. I can't wait to see this kid in 2 years. You know, should he get a little more seasoning down with the CUDA? Absolutely. I still love
where he
is, though.
Like, he doesn't need to be down there. I don't think he
doesn't.
His game hasn't showed me anything where he's not ready. I worry about the rookie wall is a real thing, and I worry about that with him this season, that he's going to get halfway through the season and he's just going to be toast. Because that sometimes happens to rookies. That's fucking if it happens.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that kid. You make a magnificent point in the fact that there's so many. It was like when they're playing in the lower leagues, they don't play as many games in a season. Blah, blah, blah. I totally get that. But you look at Ferraro. This kid is just all wheels, all heart, all the time. Just boom, 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 boom. Even if he fucks up. He's just boom. No, I'm going to make up for it on the next one. That I can't. He reminds me a little bit of Mark Smith. That, well, the fact of the matter is, let's be honest, Mario Ferraro has a lot more tools in his box than Mark Smith ever had. But you can't, as much as you sit there and you know, if you're sitting there as a scout looking at your, you know, you're filling out your little clipboard and goes, well, he has this and he has this. The one thing that you can't put on that goddamn clipboard is the amount of heart and effort. And some guys have it, some guys don't. Mark Smith was all heart, all effort, all the time. Ferraro is the same kind of gat. All heart, all effort, all the fucking time. And that's what I respect about his game. He's got that thing where you can't teach it. It just happens all the time. So when Shimmick is back with Burns, you get, I guess, Dylan with Carlson, because that's what worked last season. Vlasic and Ferraro. That's I don't hate that blue line as long as I can find some chemistry.
Both lefties.
Huh?
I said I think they're both lefties.
I see, and that's the other thing. I don't give a shit.
I know, but Peter DeBoer does.
Yeah, I know. Ugh.
I don't care. Peter DeBoer absolutely does.
Oh, I don't care about the whole lefty righty matchup. Just give me the best. I will take nothing but lefties or nothing but righties as long as them are all heart all the time and have skills. Don't give a shit on which side that they shoot from.
No, I know. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying it's Peter DeBoer again. It's like, Mario Ferraro has been great. I mean, his game hasn't been perfect.
No, not but by this any is, stretch. But has
you know
he,
what? It's a really stupid, like,
but that's the whole thing.
I want my rookie who never makes a mistake.
No, no rookie never makes a mistake. But that's this is the beautiful point that you're making. We have video, we have GIFs on the Teal Town USA Twitter feed. Mario Ferraro literally bailing out Erik Karlsson. You know, Mario Ferraro making like 700K, bailing out the guy who's making almost 12 million.
Well, that's but isn't that what we praise Šimek for? Again, like, I feel like this double standard, right? We praise Šimek because Šimek bails out Brent Burns. Like, that's the job of that side of the defense pairing. If you're gonna have your offensive guy and your defensive guy, like,
I totally get that, but you understand that there's going to be fans that look at that and go, Jesus Christ, you know.
Oh, it's, there's idiots on idiots are everywhere.
Bro, Arthur, he made a mistake. He's not Cale Makar. He's a perfect game.
I want
my guys to be perfect. Like, shut up.
Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about Cale Makar. I love Cale Makar.
I loves me some Cale Makar. So
I'm just saying, like,
that's
what you get, right? Because, like, when you're closer to it, you know, you're going to overreact to things. And there really has been some
overreact one way, underreact on the other. I get it. But it's still it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, even though I hate that phrase, it still is what it is. Either way, I mean, we've been rambling. And what's funny is I've got like a whole rundown. There's like five things that we didn't even talk about, but we're still like way too long. We should have ended this like a half an hour ago. So,
you got me fired up. It's not your fault.
Oh, we're all fired up. So we have.
You hate to see it.
You hate it. You hate to see it. So on the one side we have, I'm going to poke over there, right here. The one and only Rocket Backhander. Where can they find you on the social, Rocket?
Oh my gosh. Well,
where can they find the glitter boobs?
If you promise not to get too offended by my vague posts, you can find me on Twitter at RB LittleAckhander76. That's RBackhander76. Talking about sharks, beauty drama, living out here in the middle of Calaveras County. It's wild stuff. Or you can check out my photographs over on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word. Yeah, that's it. I don't think I have anything else that I wish to share. That's all.
There you go. And on the other side, Ian Reed checking in from the Great White North. What's going on with you, sir?
You know, the normal. You can find me on the Twitter machine at Ian Blogs Hockey. You can generally find me on any show Teal Town's doing right now, because it seems like everyone loves me, and I've been here a lot. So I hope you're not sick of me so far. I hope.
Give it until Halloween. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. When everyone's like, okay, I'm done with that Ian guy. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Also, there should be a new Teal Tinted Glasses coming out, I'm hoping, one day.
There you go. One day. I am AJ Strong on all the social media things. And with that, thank you very much for tuning in. And next week, we'll probably flip the script again and have a whole different type of a show for you. So with that, thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you after the next week has passed.